course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. I'm joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty great. I'll repeat my same corny joke that I did in the other episode, but I'm terrific.
There you go. And if you've listened to, which I hope you have, listened to our normal spoiler-free episode where we talked about all the news and all that kind of stuff and gave our spoiler-free review of Terrifier 3. This is a bonus episode that we're releasing because we love the Terrifier franchise. We love Art the Clown. And we thought, you know what? We want to talk more about this. So all this episode here is a second review and kind of an alternate review of Terrifier 3. This one, and I'm warning you now, this is my one time saying it. So if you be warned, this review is full of spoilers. We're going to talk about anything and everything we want to talk about. If you have not seen Terrifier 3 or whatever it may be, if you do not want anything spoiled, stop now. Stop. Just go. Listen to our spoiler-free. Watch the movie. Then you can come back to this. I've warned you. I've done my due diligence. I'm done with it. This is our spoiler-filled review of Terrifier 3. We're doing this because, like I said, we love the movie. We love the franchise. And we wanted to talk more in details without having to bite our tongue and hold back. Now, we're not doing this about with all movies. It's just not happening. Maybe it's just the whatever, the few movies every once in a while that might come up. And this is definitely one of them. So if you listen to our spoiler-free review and the other episode, you know, we love the movie. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I gave it a 4 out of 5 screams. We love the movie. No surprise. Blah, blah, blah. But we're going to talk more about some details in this movie, some questions maybe we have, some observations we made. And I do have a few notes that I took of things that I want to discuss. So I'm super excited to get into this. Let's start with the infamous opening scene that everybody's been talking about. Yep. Right? We've heard all this hubbub about how the opening scene is this and that. It is a spectacular opening scene. So awesome. And it's wild to me, though, that it can be so violent and horror-filled, but yet it's just so Christmassy, too. It's just so cool. And one of my favorite parts is, though, I love the visual at the end of this whole sequence of Art the Clown sitting, dipping the cookie in the milk. It's just so cool to me. It's so Art the Clown. It's so perfect. I will say, though, I do have to say that I've heard all this talk about how the first 10 minutes or whatever it may be might just totally blow you away and make you revolt. I don't know that it was that over the top. I think there was a little more in this movie that was worse. I don't know. It was a great opening scene. Don't get me wrong. But why are people saying that it's so groundbreaking? What is it about it that you think they're making this observation?
For me, I think what it is that, I'm gonna say something, and I don't want it to come across in the way it's gonna sound. So allow me to elaborate before you immediately call me an awful human being. But I feel like a lot of people are horrified or objected to the violence on children, because for people who aren't aware, the first scene is literally Art the Clown coming into a house dressed as Santa. It's the first scene, but it's kind of misplaced in terms of the sequence of the film. But what basically happens is he kills a family. He kills a mom, a dad, and two children. And one of the children, we don't see him being killed, but we hear him getting killed, and then we see his dismembered corpse. Yeah. So I do think that there is some shock value to killing a child and then showing, because it's one thing to kill a kid off screen or to allude to a child's death, but to very explicitly show a child's dismembered corpse is pretty daring, I would say, because there is still a very heavy stigma. Now, to me, it was not that shocking because in All Hallows Eve, there are dismembered children. Yeah. So I wasn't personally like super shocked by this because it's just par for the course. But or as the coroner says in Terrifier 1, it's just old hat. And that's really what it is. I think a lot of people were like, holy shit, we just saw a dismembered child's corpse, like, oh my God. And I get it, but it's not like not that brutal in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I because we didn't see the kill.
No.
We didn't see anything that really, you know what it is, right? It's I get it, but there's nothing there that distinguishes it as what I mean, yeah, I know there's a lot implied there, but to me that's not, I don't know, it's not that bar raising. I don't know. It just I don't know. Maybe that reflects more on me than it does the film and whatever else, but I thought there was much more quote unquote shocking in the film than that.
Oh yeah.
But it was a very, very, very fun scene. Classic art. Again, just great visuals. It was so much fun. We do that. We I, okay. This is and to establish things. This is correct me if I'm wrong here. This is that is 5 years in the future, correct?
Yeah, the opening of the film is like the quote unquote present day of the film.
Okay, right. Okay, and then there's the jump back to essentially the end of Terrifier 2, right?
Right.
It's we're rolling straight from Terrifier 2. And we are back in the asylum, and this is, I have to say this is cool because it explains to you how art is still a thing, right? How he's still art. But I have to say, again, there's all the talk about the opening scene. I absolutely think the Chris Jericho kill was much better and more off the charts than that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, they literally ripped the face and everything off of Chris Jericho. It was such a cool, and we talked about this a while back because he posted a picture of them doing the cast of his head. Got to be a lot of fun for Jericho to get to do that. Again, a very iconic art kill, but it dives back into more into art, more into the possession, what he is, right? Starts giving more indication of where we're going and starting to answer some of those questions of what's up with art and what is he exactly, right? Because coming through the first film, you just think he's just a guy, he's just a
Yep.
person. Into the second film, you start realizing, nope, there's more to this, but there's not a lot of answers really through that second film. You get ideals, right? You formulate theories. But starting with this scene, it starts to formulate a little more that there's some demonic activity going on here with this character and the girl, which I'm shooting a blank on her name, that Samantha plays,
Oh, Victoria.
Victoria. That's right. Yeah, there you go. And the cool thing is this really kicks off and establishes Victoria is a very prominent character in this film,
It is,
and
yeah.
yeah, and this really sets that stage for that, which I like, right? The opening scene's just kind of candy, right? It's just kind of just for the pleasure. It didn't really establish a whole lot. You could take that opening scene out, and it doesn't change the plot of the movie. It really doesn't. It doesn't really add anything to the story wise. So, but that's that, which often an opening scene is, right? That it works. This one really starts laying the foundation and the direction and the path of the movie, though.
Yeah, I think that, and this was something I was concerned about, and I'll touch on it a little bit here. When we get our introduction to Victoria, it kind of sets the stage for what a lot of people are worried about, which is what happened to the pale girl.
Yeah.
Amelia McClain was not cast, obviously. She's not in this movie, and looking at like IMDb or any of the released information about Terrifier 2 or 3, I'm sorry, she's nowhere to be found. And a lot of people were kind of bummed out about that, but it sort of provides a natural progression to what it is that happens. And this comes later in the film, but I'll just go ahead and say it now because you mentioned it. Victoria, of course, becomes a more prominent role, and she specifically is the demon that the little pale girl was possessed by. With the full, I was going to say yellow eyes, so in her case, yellow eye. And then, of course, there's a couple scenes that we'll probably talk about in a second with Victoria that are pretty jarring. But like you said, she's in on the kills. She is sort of Art the Clown's, right-hand woman. She helps kill Chris Jericho's character, rips off his jaw. They rip off his face, and it's pretty brutal. And you have the other orderly that was that went into the room that we see at the end of Terrifier 2. She's getting munched on
Yeah,
by
they're gnawing on her. Yeah.
like Art's head that's connected to like an umbilical cord that's connected to Victoria is
Yeah.
munching on the body. And then, of course, Victoria's also munching on the body, having a little afternoon snack. I mean, that scene is just so, it's very brutal, it's very raw, and it sets the stage for Victoria's involvement for the remainder of the film.
Yeah. The one cool thing about Victoria is, though, she gives a voice to Art,
She
because
does.
Art doesn't speak. So Victoria is almost like she's the spokesman. So when there's things to be said, she gets said. So I like how they utilize that character. And the demon that you spoke of, right, is trying, what is trying to, what is it? She's trying to possess Lauren, or excuse me, Sienna. Is that right? Or is she just trying to possess Gabby, the girl, the young girl?
Honestly, that's sort of something that I'm not sure about. And I have my theories, but they don't make it very clear because they talk about how the demon possesses like recently deceased people or like
Yeah.
recently deceased, like serial killers,
Yeah.
which is what they believe Art the Clown is. They believe that he was a recently, a at the time, recently deceased serial killer who was then taken over by the demon or the entity or whatever it is. But Victoria is like the actual sentient demon, like the demon,
Yeah.
right? So I do think that she was trying to get Sienna. I think the goal was that Sienna, and again, I know I'm kind of jumping ahead, but to answer your question, we see a flashback with Sienna's father, and
Yeah.
it establishes some background to Sienna's father foresaw that she would be the good that tackles the evil. And sort of creates this dynamic where Sienna is supposedly like an angel or has the powers of an angel. And by using the weapon that was forged by her father, which, well, I'm not going to talk about the scene that I want to talk about yet. So I think the goal was that the demon wanted to corrupt the person that was supposed to beat them. You know what I mean? Sort of like as a big screw you was that I'm going to possess the very person who was put here to stop me was my thought process.
Yeah, and the scene with the father is what I talked about a little bit in our spoiler free, right? Where it dropped a little bit, but it's that's something that I felt didn't get resolved entirely, right? And that's why one of the things I said in the spoiler free review that I feel like maybe Damien Leone has the fourth film already in mind. I feel like there's much more to explore there with the father. There's obviously been lots of speculation on the father's role in this. Some people thinking that Art is actually her father, blah, 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 whatever it may be. Lots of theories out there. I think there's more to come about the father, but we did get at least some information and development on it. We actually got to see the father. So there, we were familiar with, some of this from Terrifier 2, but there was a little bit of growth in it. And I kind of liked how they established in this film some distance between Sienna and Jonathan, right? How, like you mentioned, Jonathan's at college, Sienna's getting out of an institution. But what I think is very cool is it does establish how people handle trauma and these things differently, right? Sienna was struggling, right? She was having trouble. She was medicated, still struggling. Jonathan is almost like the, let's just put it out of the mind, just move on, forget about it, and just try to live life. I like that they were showing that two different approaches to handling this, and it had a little tension, created a little distance between the two, almost like they didn't, they didn't know how to interact somewhat, right? There was this uneasiness when they were together.
Yeah.
While Sienna thought, this is still here, this is still happening. I've seen him. I saw him in the mall. I saw this. Jonathan's like, please stop. You're crazy. Just boom. Let's just put it out of her mind. This done. He's gone. Let's just move on. And so I like how they established that, right? That the way those two interacted in this movie of while they went through this mutually horrific thing. They both handled it in very, very different ways, and it impacted them differently. To me, that's very realistic.
Yeah, it is. And I was going to say that the separation that they create, it shows basically the two paths, like you said. Sienna is simply not able to accept the reality that she was in, which is very understandable. I mean, she was essentially tortured for an extended period of time by Art the Clown at the carnival. And, I do think that it's important to note that between the two of them, Jonathan definitely got the better treatment, I guess you could say. He was not injured nearly as severely as Sienna was.
Yeah.
So I would venture to guess that it was probably easier for Jonathan in story to move on from the events of that night than it was for Sienna, who not only had to bear witness to all of her friends dying, but also had to bear witness to her, well, didn't bear witness, but had to be told that her parents, her mom was dead, and in addition to that, she's stabbed, she's stabbed multiple times, beaten with the cat of nine tails. I mean, I just feel like the damage that was done to Sienna was so much greater than Jonathan that it kind of made sense that she might be institutionalized because she's probably not doing super hot right now. But it's very interesting because they definitely touch on the sort of mental health part of it, right? Like,
Yeah.
what kind of a toll does this take on you as a survivor of that horrific incident? And I think that the other big thing is that Jonathan was not really wanting to accept what happened. And one other piece is that they kind of drop in there that Jonathan is really the only reason that Sienna did not go to jail,
Yeah.
because there's no body. Art the Clown's body, it just ups and walks away, literally. It's his headless body walks away quite literally after killing a police officer, and taking his head and his gun. He lost his other gun. He had to get a new one.
That's right.
But that's the thing, is that there's literally at that point there's no proof other than Sienna's word and Jonathan's word about what happened. Everyone else is dead. So if it were not for Jonathan, Sienna would be in jail, which is a very interesting predicament for this movie, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, I mean, Jonathan's character very much is the avoidance. He is avoiding it. He is going away from it. He's like, I did my part. I kept my sister out of jail. He's like, I want to be away from this. But he can't. He cannot be away from it. And he realizes that at one of the points in the movie where he destroys his room, right? In a fit of anger, he realizes that he cannot get away from this, and just boom, 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 boom. And yeah, so I'll stop there before I get too far ahead of myself.
It does. It shows that the way they're hitting with it, and one part of the movie that helps even to emphasize that more is there is a character, another student at his college that has a true crime podcast, is fascinated by the murders, the Art the Clown murders.
Yeah.
It is fascinated by the fact that her boyfriend is roommates with Jonathan. Initially, and she wants to interview Jonathan on her podcast. And then later she encounters Sierra or Sienna. Excuse me, I don't know why I say Sierra. Sienna, and wants to interview her, obviously. Now she approaches both of them and with pretty much the exact same proposal. But one thing that helps emphasize how they're handling it is their reactions to this. Jonathan is much more calm. He's like, I don't really talk about it. I don't really do that kind of stuff. I'm just whatever. And he's like, oh, just to get her off his back, he's like, I'll think about it. Whatever it may be. And he does listen to the podcast some. as things are developing and he's starting to say, oh, okay, realize some things. Sienna, though, when she's encountered by it, she flips, right? She's like, this is our lives. We nearly died. We encountered this. We lived this. Who the fuck are you to think this is some kind of entertainment? Fuck off. This is, so they react very differently to this exact same situation. And that, even to me, that the whole point of that is that to once again emphasize the difference in approach, reaction, and where they are with this grieving, healing type process. So I like, while it may seem kind of off the wall to have that included in it, I think that's, to me, the whole purpose of it is to further establish these two siblings and how they're reacting to this scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
And oh, go
But
ahead.
no, go right ahead.
No, I was just going to move on because to me, one of the best scenes in this movie is the scene in the bar with Art and Daniel Roebuck as Santa, as a Santa. And it is this is this scene is so funny because it's like for a brief moment, it's almost like we just get to see Art being a dude for a little bit, right? He's this Santa's drunk and he thinks Art's funny and accepting and they're drinking beers and whatever and it's just hilarious until Art trips whatever but it is so funny to me because this is one of those scenes where you get to see that humorous side of Art that's kind of underappreciated. There's a couple scenes in the movie that do that. This is one of them. Where it's almost this thing where you believe that Art's going to kill these guys, right? It's going to happen, but it's almost like he's toying with his victims and playing with them a bit, and it's very, very humorous. And I love Daniel Roebuck; he's so good in everything he does. And
What's up with
was
him
whole.
being drinking in all these movies he's in?
I don't know, right? Yeah, he was great in Stream, being the drunk guy there. Yeah, so I don't know. Apparently someone discovered that he's good at playing a drunk guy. But this was a this to me was just an absolutely hilarious scene.
It is.
And so fun. And it's and again, it's one of the reasons I think this movie is paced and flows better because you have some of the intensity, some of the kills, some of the tension between the siblings and all these different things. And then they give you a scene like this, which just lets you breathe it for a moment, right? Because you need that in the flow. You need certain moments, and it doesn't have to be long, and it doesn't have to be completely off track, but just something to let you calm down a little, catch your breath before they take you back up. And this scene does it. It works well. It adds to that Christmas flavor. It's just a hilarious scene, but in a way that also still absolutely shows Art's vicious side.
Well, and I was going to mention the, without obviously going into every single little bit of it, the creativity of weapons obviously is a sort of a trademark of Terrifier. You have some pretty cool weapons in the first one, like the cat of nine tails, which he reuses in the second one. I was kind of sad they didn't have a scene with the cat of nine tails in this one, but he's got that in the first one. He's got his gun, he's got his blades, his miscellaneous stuff that he uses. The second one, he uses acid. He uses
The hacksaw.
improvised the hacksaw, improvised weapons, chemicals, and then in the third one, he uses the what is it? Oh God, what was that stuff they use? The is it nitrogen?
I'm not sure what it's called. It's the stuff to freeze things.
Yeah, it's like a comp it's like it was like compressed like something. It's
Yeah.
whatever they use to like freeze shit, like freeze dry stuff.
Yeah.
But he uses it to basically like freeze Daniel Roebuck's like our hand and leg and like smashes them. He does the same to his face later, but like it's brutal. I mean, like you're first of all, you're basically giving this guy instant frostbite, which hurts. And then in addition to that, you're just beating the ever-living hell out of his frostbitten leg and hand, and just it crumbles, So it's just, yeah, it is, it's insane. And like I said, the creativity of the weapons, sort of the improvisation that Art the Clown does.
And let's skip forward. Let's get to let's start getting to the really the meat of the movie here, where he really it starts encountering Sienna, right? And he and we didn't really mention it, but Sienna in this movie is living with her aunt and her husband, her uncle, and her cousin, right, which is Gabby. And there's a scene where Sienna comes to, and they have her aunt, and Art's there, and Victoria's there, and you're speaking of creative kills. The top, tell me, all the people talking about the opening scene and blah blah blah. No. To me, and we in our spoiler free of that episode, we talked about our three favorite Art the Clown kills. This right here is one of those that ranks up there is when he kills the aunt. With the I'm not sure what it is. It's a glass pipe. I'm not. I don't. I didn't catch. Where did it come from? What was it?
So I don't know where the pipe comes from, but something fun that I, well, I guess it's fun. There's actually a medieval torture where they used to put like a pipe up against a prisoner's skin, and they would put a fire or heat source on the other end, and they would put rats in the pipe. And the rats trying to find a way to escape would like claw through the prisoner's skin. So that's kind of what they were doing here is that they put like the pipe in her mouth, put the rats in, and then lit fire on the one side so the rats only had one way to go.
Which is what, kind of what he does here, right? He shoves the pipe essentially down her throat, puts the rat in it, which he picked up, I guess, earlier in the wherever they're staying. And
The
then
condemned building.
and puts the pipe, puts the rat in, uses the little propane torch to make the rat go down through the ant, cuts her open, pulls her out. It's to me, this is like the creative kill of the movie.
It is.
It's the hacksaw, salt and bleach kill of the movie. It's this one right here to me. Very, kind of clever. And then we get to the nitty gritty, right? Art and Sienna fight and showdown, whatever. And I gotta say, man, Sienna takes she takes such a beating, right? Everything's her hands crushed, this and that. But you start seeing some of what we mentioned with her dad and this and that because right, she it's like she has some healing properties. And so this again is a question that's kind of arisen that's not really fully answered in this. What is that, right? Because he she beheads Victoria, right? And Victoria kind of melts, doesn't she? She just dissolves into a thing, but it
Like a
like opens
goo.
up, and it opens up like a portal to hell, right? And then, am I remembering right? Does Art throw Gabby into it,
I don't.
or she? What happens? I can't remember how.
I think Gabby went to her mother's corpse, basically like sad, and then the portal kind of just opens up under them.
And she catches the edge. She's hanging on. Sienna is trying to help her, uses the whatever it is, the fire sword or whatever they call it, the magical sword to help her up, hands that the handle down, she grabs the handle. Sienna's got the blade trying to pull her up. Long story short, Gabby falls into hell. But Sienna's hands are all cut from the blade of the thing, but they heal, right? And her hands kind of heal. So I think that's something that's got to be explored more, what's going on there, right? I'm guessing.
Was going to say they mentioned earlier in the movie, during the conversation of the flashback with the father during the dream sequence, he says the sword will never hurt you.
Okay. All right.
And
Gotcha. I
which in this means that she cannot be felled by the sword, basically, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. It raises so many questions to me about the dad
It does.
and what he's created these characters, created this and whatever else, and it's coming to be. And so what I mean, it makes me wonder more about the dad and what he is. I just feel like in four he'll be a much bigger part of the movie. But to not go long with this, we get there is the obvious point in this whole thing too, which is probably I think it occurred before this, where they have this skin skull type thing. They put a pair of glasses on it. which Sienna then realizes that it's Jonathan.
Yeah.
Now, but my question is, this is my one of my biggest questions from this movie, though. Is that truly Jonathan or not? I mean, they want you to believe it is. Sienna believes it is. Obviously, the implications are that Art wants her to believe it is. But we don't see that kill. We
Yeah.
don't see Jonathan kill. So, is it truly Jonathan? Is it just Art playing mind games? I don't know what to believe of that, because part of me says if Jonathan was going to be killed, then it would have been shown in the movie. You would think that would have been what they wanted to show. I don't know. I guess
Yeah.
then it wouldn't have had the same impact. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know whether I will wholeheartedly commit to believing that is truly Jonathan yet. For now, I'll take it at face value, but I still have my doubts. There's.
In my opinion, I don't think it is. I think that that is the skull of the girl from the shower scene, which we need to
It's
talk about
yes.
too.
Yeah. We just skip that.
I think that the skull is the girl. I think her name's like Mia in the movie. I think it's her skull. I do not think Jonathan is dead. I think that in the next movie, either Jonathan is going to be sort of like in the hellscape or whatever with Gabby, or he is going to be elsewhere and they just happen to find his glasses like in his dorm room or some shit. But no, there's no way they killed Jonathan off screen. Like it's okay to assume some deaths off screen, right? You know, like for instance, Allie's mom in Terrifier 2. Obviously, you know, that you don't necessarily have to assume her death. They do have her head, but like you don't see her death, right? And that's okay. You know what I mean? That makes sense, kind of why they did that. But Jonathan, no. Jonathan, it was painted as one of the main protagonists of Terrifier 2 and 3 in this case, and I do not think that they would have given him an off-screen death like that.
Yeah, I don't either. That's absolutely what I believe, as well. And just to jump back to that shower scene, right? It's the podcast girl and Jonathan's roommate boyfriend. They're in a shower having sex. And Art just fucking waylays them with a chainsaw. And it's pretty brutal. This is another brutal kill. Pretty good. It's a pretty wild and absolutely some of the more art iconic kills.
It is. I think that if you were to choose like one kill from this movie, I think the shower scene is the kill, in my opinion. I like the rat scene. It's very horrifying, but the kill, in my opinion, is the shower scene.
I totally get that argument. And But getting back, obviously, there has been lots set up for the next movie, right?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
Gabby drops into the thing. Sienna says that she will find Gabby and rescue her. So there's that. So it's very much looking forward. Like in the fourth movie, there will be a trip to hell, which is pretty wild. As the movie comes to a close, Art is still alive, right? He gets on a bus. Creeps out a woman in the bus, which cool fun fact, as we talked about in the other our spoiler free episode, the lady is reading a book called The Ninth Circle, which was the very first short that Art appeared in. Very cool,
Yeah.
that little nod. But yeah, that creepy scene, at the end with Art on the bus, she's creeped out by him, his eyes open with this world look. So obviously Art's still there, still alive. Gabby is in hell. Sienna's still alive. There's the assumption in the movie that Jonathan's dead, although we don't believe that. So there's obviously a lot set up for this next movie. So let's talk. We've talked a lot, quite a bit about it. Let's talk a little bit about some. I know we're way away from this, but let's talk about some predictions a little bit for four, right? Obviously, somehow I think Sienna is going to hell
Yeah.
to try to rescue Gabby. Like you said, whether she is either going to encounter and have to rescue Jonathan as well, whether Jonathan will establish that Jonathan's not dead and he'll have to go, he'll go with her, whatever it may be. Jonathan, I'm sure, will parlay into it. My question is, and what my belief is, what do you think? I believe, though, the hell trip will also encounter, this is where the dad is truly going to come into it.
Yeah.
And there will be an encounter with dad on this, and we'll see a little more about what dad truly is. It will reveal more about what Sienna truly is, because there's obviously more to Sienna than what we're seeing here. And
Yeah.
there's lots to explore. I like in this one, though, that they put enough of the supernatural type stuff into it and the possession stuff, without it being so over the top that it just muddied the whole thing. There's enough there to establish what's happening, to build on the story, without making it too overly busy. But I think, and again, I don't know, I think four is really going to answer some of these questions. I guess I suspected that three was going to close a lot more doors, and that four maybe would start some kind of some a little something newer. Now I'm kind of leaning towards, I think four will kind of close some chapters a little bit here and there, and then moving forward there will be something new established.
Yeah.
Because I think this trip to hell is going to answer a lot of these questions that were kind of set up in Terrifier 2, really, really established or built upon in Terrifier 3, with the dad, with the sword, with why these things that dad's creating and drawing, why they're really happening. That's peculiar to me. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a little more about art and why, what he is, a little more at his core. I still feel like there is some form of an unspoken correlation between Art and Sienna's family. There's something there, whether Sienna's dad is purely just the creator of art and this thing that he has, this power that he has, whatever it is, there's something more there, right? Why is Art fixated on them? I think there's more there. So, what kinds of things do you think will be a little further explored in the fourth movie?
Yeah, I do agree. I think that there's gonna have to be some sort of, trip to hell, some kind of like, what's the word? Some kind of like meta, trip to hell type deal. There's a lot of references to the ninth circle, so I wonder if there's gonna be some sort of, Dante's Inferno type thing, which are the talking about the circles of hell. I imagine that some of that imagery and such will be very relevant for the next film. I don't believe that Jonathan is dead. I do believe that we will see him again in some way, shape, or form. Like you said, I think the dad is going to come into the picture very strongly in the next film. I think he has to, because I feel like that there are a lot of loose ends that all kind of directly correlate to the father, right? I just feel as if the father is sort of the quote unquote answer to the question, like what is going on? And I think that he will definitely be a huge part of the next movie. Even further than that, I think that we'll probably see, like you said, some sort of explanation as to what Art the Clown is, or maybe even who he was, because my thought process is that he was probably a prolific serial killer of some kind. Whether it's he's like ancient, has been around for a long time, maybe like Jack the Ripper or some shit. And then he's just like possessed by the demon. Or maybe he's more like a lesser known, entity. I'm not sure. But I think we'll get some more answers as to what he is and why he's doing the things that he's doing, or somewhat of why he's doing the things he's doing. Because, is there really an answer to that is another good question. And I think that we're going to see a scene in this movie, which was during the dream sequence. We see a demon that is being
Oh,
held by a
yeah.
chain by the Mother Mary, who is forging the sword that
That's right.
Sienna uses. So I have a lot of questions about who is this demon? Why is he forging the fire sword? And how does he correlate to her father? Because clearly the father, either had some sort of connection to the spirit world or hell, And, you know, everyone said your dad made that sword. So the person making that sword in that dream sequence was a demon. So is her dad a demon that, like, is a good guy? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on there? You know, who is this demon? Why is this demon there? And it literally showed that scene and did not say another word about it. And the movie ends. You know what I mean?
I mean, when we're talking about the ninth circle and this and that, yeah, is the dad being held in hell, being punished, as a captive? Is that, whatever? Is that part of his torture, right? That is that perhaps in that scene? Is that the dad, right? They're against his will, being, whatever, and perhaps maybe it, if Jonathan is dead, he could be there as well. Right, being in some kind of tribulation, some kind of trial, some kind of torture. Who knows? But I think we're going to explore a lot more of that. I do, yeah, I do think we'll see the dad much more. I'm already excited to see, the fourth one. I'm already excited. I can't wait to see watch three again. There was a lot to digest the process. We didn't cover it all. I don't, I didn't intend, didn't want to cover it all. I just wanted to hit some thoughts and highlights. I didn't want to make it too long. I just wanted us to be able to dive in and talk a little more plot point. Like I said, I'd love to hear some feedback from you guys. You don't have to just lay it out there on social media for everybody to see. You can message us on one of the platforms if you'd like to do that, or just wait a little bit and give it some time for people to watch, and then give us some feedback. Again, like we said in the other, go watch Terrifier 3. If you've seen it, go watch it again. Looking like the number one movie on its opening weekend. That's very, very exciting. Very promising. The movie was great. It delivered. Did not let me down in any way, shape, or form with my expectations. And like I said, I feel like each movie is just a little better than the one before it. And I feel like this is probably my favorite of the franchise so far. And very much enjoyed it. Like I said, I didn't want to dive into everything, Ike. Let's don't run this too long. But before we jump out of here, is there any final thoughts on Terrifier 3 that you want to throw in there?
You know, it's just the feeling of these movies, right, is there's always something that you leave the movie with, right? You know, the first one, you know, you kind of just have the feeling that Arthur Clown's just like this weird playful demon. You know what I mean? Like, truly, he seems playful. And two, he almost becomes more sadistic, right? He, you know, obviously he's evil, clearly, but like, generally, like the ways that he's killing people, it escalates, and it's continuing to escalate into more violent, brutal, even more painful methods of torture. And I just feel like that's just such a interesting plot point for Art the Clown, is that cascading effect of violence. It just keeps going in this movie, and then I just do not know where Damien Leone can possibly go with this next movie. Absolutely no idea.
It's interesting to think. Obviously, lots for us to speculate and ponder on in the near future. But not to get ahead of ourselves, let's right at the moment, let's enjoy Terrifier 3 and what it has brought to us. And I have to say that I will once again reiterate how much I appreciate Damien Leone, the Levies, Fuzz on the Lens, everything they do. For bringing us these Terrifier movies. Not only that, Stream is an extraordinary movie. Just everything they're doing, I am highly appreciative that they are around. Cannot wait this, once this movie's had its run to see it hit streaming. I'm probably assuming it'll probably hit on Screambox like the others, since they have a hand in it. So once again, though, if you've not seen it, I don't know why you listen to a spoiler-filled review, but if you've not seen it, go see it. If you have seen it, go see it again. If it is the number one movie opening weekend, let's make that two in a row. Let's keep it up there for a while and go see it again. Enjoy the movie. I did. I loved it. Lots to talk about, lots to ponder. To me, that's a sign of a good movie, right? It answers some questions, gives you some things to talk about, but it also raises some other questions and makes you excited for the future of the franchise. Because that's the way it should go. If there's going to be a future movie, you want to keep that speculation and interest there. And this movie totally did that for me. There was a nice balance of answering a few things, but not answering some others and raising some other questions. And There was a nice balance to Terrifier 3 of that, and it's very exciting.
It
So,
is.
absolutely, as you know, we're huge Terrifier fans. This movie only added to it. Love the movies, love Art the Clown. So make sure you support the movie. Let's get out of here. That's a lot of recording on our parts. We had the spoiler-free episode and then the spoiler-filled review. We hope you enjoyed all this content. We hope you enjoyed us talking a little deeper into a movie. We don't generally do that because we keep things spoiler-free. So it's a little something a little unique. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you thought of it. So until our next episode, when we will be reviewing Smile 2, so go see that when it hits theaters as well. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.